the Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
This is Lasser Bradley, Jr., speaking to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, and inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. We all pass through times of discouragement, times when it's difficult to keep going. And in the message that we begin today, we look at that question. What keeps us going? What keeps us moving forward in the service of God? What is the proper motivation that should compel us to continue serving the Lord when all conditions and circumstances are contrary? We'll be speaking from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And if you request it, we will send you a cassette of the complete message entitled, What Keeps Us Going. I encourage you to write us on a regular basis and let us know that you're listening to the program. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. I'd like to share a couple of letters with you. This first one from Carson, California. Dear Brother Bradley, please send me the material that you offered on the air. I hear you over radio station KGER here in the Los Angeles area. I do not have an offering to send at this time, but I hope that I'll be able to send one shortly. I enjoy your old-fashioned preaching, which seems to be lost in this generation. The messages are so full of faith and inspiration. I would also like to receive a copy of the Baptist Witness and of your catalog. This next one is from Fort Pierce, Florida. Dear Elder Bradley, indeed, what a treasure we have in Christ. How blessed of God you are to proclaim the victory we have through Him. My 85-year-old mother was still rejoicing long after hearing you proclaim the good news last Sunday. She wants a copy of the message that she might be able to share it with others of like precious faith. Enclosed, find a check for the tape plus a donation for the broadcast. May God bless you. I hope that you will take time to write and identify the station over which the program comes to you. I'm sure you can realize that the responsibilities that we have in carrying on this work are very great. We desire to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to His honor, to the comfort of His people. And we are thankful that the program is not only heard widely here in this country, but throughout many parts of the world as well. We trust that you will be praying for us and that you will write. That address once more is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Our order line is 1-800-4734-BBH. That's 1-800-4734-BBH. The Lord willing, on Sunday, May 5th, I will be in service with Fellowship Primitive Baptist Church, located between Byron and Perry, Georgia, south of Macon. You ever heard the comment made when somebody is really having a difficult time in life? I just wonder what keeps them going. Maybe that individual has had a lot of sickness, a lot of heartache, a lot of disturbances in their family life. Maybe they've lost a job, had some serious financial setbacks. But in spite of one thing following another, they seem to keep going. They keep on track. They keep doing the right thing. And that observation is made. I just wonder what keeps them going. Well, there are a lot of things that keep people going. Some people keep going, but they don't go in the right direction. Some people may go in the right direction, but they don't go for the right reason. It ought to be our concern as we endeavor to serve the Lord in our lives, both to keep going the right way, and keep going for the right reason. Think about those who keep going for the sake of greed. We've seen a lot of greediness in the business community of our country in recent years. Some have suffered some very terrible setbacks as a result of their determination to expand and control beyond what was reasonable. But men can become blinded to everything else if their determination is, I want more and more, and they are possessed with a covetous, greedy spirit. Some people keep going because they want power, they want to control. Some people keep going because they desire prestige. They want people to admire them. They want to climb the social ladder. They keep going, no matter what the setbacks, no matter what the problems. Their goal is set, and they keep going. Find people who are committed to running. My, I see people out in all kinds of weather, in extremely cold weather, and they keep running. Wednesday night after church, it was pouring down rain, a cold night. I couldn't believe my eyes when I passed a jogger on the road. Though, what is it that gets a man out on a night like this anyway? There were no doubt some people who felt like it was too bad a night to get in the car and ride to church, but here's a man that's out running in the rain. Now, there could be a lot of reasons in that. Maybe it's an idea that this must be done for health reasons. Maybe somebody's doing it to try to control their weight, build their strength. And then it's possible to become addicted to running, just like you can become addicted to anything else. What keeps somebody going? What keeps a runner going in an official race when they're just about out of breath? They're feeling pain. They can hardly make it, but They keep going. Can be just the desire to win. I've got to prove myself. I've got to prove that I can do this. I've got to prove it to myself. I've got to prove it to other people. I want the prize. I want to be recognized. I'm the winner of the race. Read an article the other day about a man who was a part of a research project seeking to find things that will be of benefit to those who have heart disease. And this man was put on a strict diet and on a strict program of controlled activity. And he had told the doctor who was in charge of the project that he had at one time been an Olympic runner. Now, it later proved this was not the case, but he needed that apparently for his ego. And while he was not to be running at least any extended period at this time, he insisted on entering a race and ran several miles beyond what was reasonable, and soon thereafter died of a heart attack. Now, there was somebody who, in spite of medical advice, in spite of the fact that he knew he had a problem and that he was endangering his life, continued to run and gave his life because it was important to him to be a winner. He wanted to project the image. I've been an Olympic runner. I can win the race. And you'll hear people say today in various sports events, winning is everything. That's all that matters. I've got to win. Competition in the business world has reached that level in many cases today. Used to be that somebody who operated a business obviously wanted to make a profit. Business can't survive without a profit. Man that's operating a business is not even fair to his employees if he doesn't try to put a profit on the bottom line. The business won't be there. The job won't be there if a profit is not generated. But it's gone beyond that in many cases today. There are companies that have what they call their war room. It's not just a matter of trying to get additional business. It's not just a matter of trying to outdo the competition in a given area. They go into the war room to plan strategy as to how they can totally demolish the competition. All kinds of methods are used. Years ago, the idea of naming the competition in a commercial was unheard of. Now it's frequently done today. We not only want our share of the business, we want theirs too. We'd like to put them out of business. Now that desire to win, to totally control and dominate, can be a strong motivator. Keeps people going. But what about us in our lives? It is to be our desire and purpose to follow and serve Jesus Christ. What are our motives? What keeps us going? Let's turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Read beginning with the 12th verse. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The apostle says, I have been apprehended. The Lord has taken over in my life. I belong to him. But I desire that I might apprehend, that I might obtain, that I might lay hold of that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have arrived. Now, that's where people would really like to be, even in the spiritual realm. Would you not like to say, oh, I struggled for a while. There was a time I was in darkness, but now I have grown. I have received so much light and I understand so much. I've arrived. I'm no longer a carnal Christian. I'm a spiritual Christian. I'm no longer a babe in Christ. I'm mature. But the apostle didn't look at it in that light. I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't consider myself as one who has arrived. But this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or complete, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. The apostle has laid out here what we need to consider to keep going. What keeps us going? What did the apostle say about it? What kept him going? First thing he says in this passage, forgetting the things which are behind. Forgetting the past. You're not going to keep going. You're not going to move forward if you're spending all your time looking behind you. Forgetting those things which are behind. If you're forgetting the past, that means you're not living in the past. Now, this is one of those very vivid examples of something that you need to consider when you're listening to preaching. There is not a preacher who can deal in any discourse with every single facet and part of any one subject. The Bible is too complex a book. The truth is too much involved. Now, I know my personal concern is, and I'm sure that it is with most every minister, to be clear, to be concise, to be understood, not to be ambiguous, not to leave a lot of loose ends hanging out there, to tie them together, to try to present a subject and paint a picture in such a way that you can receive it and understand what we're talking about. But if we took time to explain every single word, if we took time to explain when we're talking about a particular subject, we're talking about this part of it as opposed to all the other parts of it, we'd really never get anywhere. Now, the point is this. When the apostle says, forgetting those things which are behind, he's the same man who wrote, call to remembrance the former days. Now, does that sound contradictory? On one hand, he's saying, forget the past. On another hand, he's saying, remember the past. Well, that's just such a vivid example of many things that we find in the Scriptures that must be rightly divided. For example, he's the man who said, it is God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then the Apostle Peter says on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Did Paul and Peter preach two different doctrines? No. You've got to look at the aspect of salvation which was being considered at the time. And so when he says here, forgetting those things which are behind, he doesn't mean that you can block the total memory of all things that are past out of your mind. He's not saying that. As a matter of fact, he's not saying that there is no profitable way to review the past. We find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things are written aforetime for our learning and admonition. That is, as he cites what happened to Israel in Old Testament times, he said they're for our benefit. If we're reading them and laying them to heart, we are getting not just a picture of what happened historically, we are applying them now. In other words, it's something we can take home with us. It's something that's going to mean something to us today. So there is a profitable way to look back, to look at Israel's experience, to look at our own experience. Call to remembrance the former days. There's some things that you've already experienced in your life that by recalling can be of great benefit to you now. Some people seem to be committed to make the same mistakes all their life. They never learn. They do the same thing over and over and over again. They've had a lot of practice. They know what the mistakes are. They know how to commit them. Friends, God's people are to awaken from their spiritual slumber, see their sins, see their mistakes, and repent. The subject of repentance is one that's dealt with very vividly throughout the Scriptures. God's people are to repent. Change is in order. We are to turn from the ungodly things that have dominated our life in the past. There is a way in which we ought to be looking back, but there is obviously a way in which it is most unprofitable. And so he says, forgetting those things which are behind, we must not be living in the past. Now, I know as we get older, we have a tendency to talk about the past. When you're young and you hear old people talking about the past, that's, you know, you kind of tolerate it and say, well, poor old soul, I guess that's all they got to talk about. Then you start getting older, and the young people accuse you of doing the very thing that you were concerned about years ago. I guess there's just that inclination in human nature that as we get older, we like to review some experiences. And they say the older somebody gets, it was the deeper the snow was and the longer the walk was to school that they describe. And so I guess we have a way of looking at things from our own vantage point, depending on where we are in life. But even as we look back, we must not live in the past. Some people can't get anything done now because they're living in the past. They see no blessings today because all they think about is how good it was years ago. And yet, remember that what we're experiencing now is the thing that somebody's going to look back to 10 years from now and say, boy, wasn't it good back then? We must not live in the past. We must not be controlled by the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. There are some people who are controlled by the past. Whatever happened to them years ago is still the controlling factor in their life. And I want to tell you, friends, that there are a lot of people today in the counseling business that I believe encourage that. As soon as somebody is given a designation, somebody decides, I was abused as a child, they now look at life through those tinted glasses. They feel like there are certain things I have to bear, certain things that I'm enduring, certain ways that I'll probably react because of what I experienced in childhood. That's what it means to be controlled by the past. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. All of us have had our troubles. All of us have had our difficulties in life. All of us have had those dark days through which we've passed, but if we spend all of our time thinking about those, dwelling on those, then we're missing what God has given us today, the more abundant life that can be ours right now through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 says in the 14th verse, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We need to have our conscience purged. Some people are controlled by memories of what they have done themselves. Others are controlled by memories of what was done to them. But in either case, our conscience can be purged. How? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Does that mean that you'll be able to block from your memory the realization that some of these things occurred? No. The Scriptures do not call for that. As a matter of fact, sometimes a recollection of our past failures can be used to humble us and to cause us to be more patient with other people. The apostle used that in the letter to Timothy when he talks about what we were in our former walk. You also were one time blind and foolish, and when you see what you have been and where you have walked and what you have done in the past, you'll be a lot more patient with other people today. But if you allow a condemned conscience, if you allow the idea that you have been so mistreated, maligned, dealt with unfairly in the past, that it's controlling your life, that in itself becomes sin. Let me tell you something. We need to be aware. See, what I'm talking about right now, you may say, well, I can see how some people might be influenced in that respect. I want to tell you that it goes so far that it becomes a planned strategy on the part of some who want to control other individuals and lead them away from the simplicity of the faith that there is in Jesus Christ. You see, if there is someone who wants to confuse one's mind, lead them away from the gospel, and they can begin to appeal to that person on the basis, listen, you suffered abuse as a child, physical abuse, because you were spanked by your parents. Maybe this individual never thought of it in that light before. It never occurred to them. They knew that they were spanked. They knew that they were disciplined. They knew it was painful at the time, but they never defined it as being abused. Now this young person is told, you were abused, physically abused by your parents. Not only so, you were emotionally abused because they didn't give you a choice. They imposed their standards on you. Now there's things whirling through this young mind that they'd never thought about. Why, here, I have been dealt with unfairly by my parents. I have been physically and emotionally abused. If that's the case, maybe I can't have any confidence in anything they taught me. And if that's the case, probably I can't have any confidence in the Bible, which is the book that they cited as the authority by which they governed their life. And before long, you've got a young mind that has been influenced by the cunning craftiness of wicked workers who lie in wait to deceive. And that individual is questioning the validity of the Scriptures and the very existence of Almighty God. I'm not speculating. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about actual cases, friends. We need to be aware of the cunning craftiness of Satan, who lies in wait to deceive and delude and lead people away from Jesus Christ and from the faith once delivered unto the saints. The Apostle Paul was a man of great experience, but he did not consider himself to have arrived. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is it that keeps us going? We must forget the past. We must not live in it. We must not be controlled by it. We must be reaching forth, looking unto Jesus Christ, following and serving Him out of love and gratitude. If you would like a cassette of the complete message entitled, What Keeps Us Going, please request it when writing us this week. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasayer Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.